Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. All right, we're journeying through Joshua on Sunday mornings. And by the way, on Sunday nights we're preaching through the life of David, and I believe God's really given me a good message for tonight about what true worship is, and we have a good time. Welcome to join us tonight at 6. But this morning we're in the book of Joshua, and I've entitled the message, "Are You Ready for Battle?" Now, just hearing the testimonies this morning, you would have to say, we are not on some playground. We are on a battleground. I mean, the world, the flesh, and the devil are doing everything that they can to defeat us. I mean, the evil one's pulling out all the stops, amen? And how many of you would just go ahead and agree to it and say amen? Your flesh is working against you. Our flesh is rotten. And we need to understand that. And then the world and the way the world system and the world view is today is working against us. And so when you look at those three enemies of ours, you know, sometimes we act like, you know, we're really up against it. But hallelujah, the book of Joshua tells us that we can live in victory. We can live in Canaan land. We can live in the promised land, the abundant, supernatural, overflowing, victorious life that Jesus died and rose again for you to have. I'm already preaching and we hadn't even read the scripture. Mercy. Look at Joshua chapter 5, and I just want to read verse 1 together if we can do that. Let's all stand one more time today. We've been up and down like pogo sticks, but that's okay. Joshua chapter 5 verse 1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. Billy Walker, ask God to bless the word today. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Amen. Please be seated. God had brought the children of Israel over the Jordan River. Remember that last Sunday? If you remember that, say amen. Amen. If you don't, say I forgot. And so they're standing now in the promised land. They're on the western banks of the Jordan River. And they're ready to possess and claim all that God had given them. And in the meantime, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amalekites, and all the other kites that were already in the land, they heard what God had done. They had heard how God had parted the waters of the Jordan River and how the children of Israel had passed through on dry ground. And the Bible says that their hearts melted. They collapsed. They lost heart. They were demoralized. In other words, they lost what little hope they had. And I want to tell you, they were ready for defeat. You see, folks, God is working behind the scenes. You can't see what He's doing. And you may be in a battle this morning, but I want to tell you, it is not the desire of our Lord and Savior that we live a defeated life. It is not the desire of our Lord and Savior that we live a defeated life. Amen. That's not from Him. That's from the evil one. Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Do those three things sound good? No. But Jesus came that we might have life and might have it abundantly. And so that's what we're talking about this morning. Are you ready for battle? Tell somebody, I'm in the Lord's army. All right, we're in the Lord's army. If you're a child of the King, you're a soldier in the army of the Lord. And so we're going to look at how God brought victory and is preparing the nation of Israel now for victory step by step in the invasion of Jericho. And you don't want to miss next Sunday morning. It's going to be good. So first of all, Joshua and his army and God really is preparing his army, preparing the Lord's army. Look at verse 2. At that time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they'd come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, say, oh me, till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that He would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers, that He would give us a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Now, God tells Joshua, I am preparing you for victory. And what he had planned was a private ceremony and a public ceremony. Now we'll get to the public ceremony in just a moment. But the private ceremony was a cutting of the flesh, and the public ceremony was keeping the feast. And we'll see that here in just a minute. Now you remember what had happened to those Israelites that had been back in the Sinai Desert for 40 years. They were living a life of defeat. And the reason for that was that 40 years before, they were standing on the eastern banks of the Jordan River, and Moses had sent 12 spies down into the Promised Land. You remember, 10 out of the 12 spies brought back a negative report, although they brought back this huge cluster of grapes and honey, and they said, you know, God's right. It is a beautiful, gorgeous land that God's given to us. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, but there's giants in the land. And they've got fortified cities. They've got these huge walls. And there's no way we can take. And so for the next 40 years, because of the sin of unbelief, the children of Israel wandered around in the Sinai Desert, living a life of frustration, of misery, and defeat. And I want to tell you, the sin of unbelief is still with us today. People are living below what God desires for them to have. And so now these former soldiers that had come out of Egypt, they've all been circumcised. But now the young children, the sons, had not been circumcised. And so they have this private ceremony of circumcision. Now, y'all remember what circumcision was, right? I mean, that was a sign, a mark of the covenant that God had set up with His children, particularly through the great patriarch Abraham. It was a sign of a covenant. What is the rite of circumcision today? Baptism. Baptism, like circumcision, marks that person out. It's your coming out party. It's taking your stand for Jesus Christ. You're telling everybody, I'm in the Lord's army, and I don't care who knows. So that's in similar type like this covenant relationship that God had with the children of Israel that was characterized by circumcision, the Christian life is characterized by baptism. It's a beautiful picture of what's taking place in the life of a believer. Died with him, buried with him, raised with him. And one day we're coming back with him. And we're going to reign with him. Everything's happened to Jesus has happened to us. Somebody say glory. Hallelujah. So y'all with me so far? Now, let me just take this a step further, okay? Spiritual battles are not won with worldly methods. They're about to enter into a huge battle with Jericho. And spiritual principles have to be applied to the battlefields of life. We're not strong enough to battle in our own strength. Haven't you proven that to yourself yet? I certainly have. I mean, why would I battle the world, the flesh, and the devil in my own strength and in my own power when I've got the strongest power in the universe to draw from? Hello? And so spiritual principles have to be applied to the battles of life. And if we're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we've got to, pardon the pun, but we've got to cut those things out of our life that defeat us. Oh, that is a good word. Guys, they didn't get it, but y'all do. If we are going to have victory in this life, we've got to be willing to get rid of that stuff that keeps us defeated. We've got to cut it out of our lives. Does anybody know what Matthew 5 says? Matthew 5:30 says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it away. We're to eliminate those things in our life that keep us from God's best. And I don't know what that list looks like in your life, but I sure can tell you what it is in my life. And so as the child of God gets in the Word of God, the Spirit of God will convict you and me of the things in my life that He's not pleased with. And so I just circumcise those things. I cut them out of my life. Are y'all with me? We get rid of them. Negative. Well, do I need to make a list? You got your own list, don't you? Let's get rid of that junk. Because they're not from God. And they keep us defeated. God will let you know what He's not pleased with. Don't need some preacher to tell you. God will tell you what those things are. Amen? Well, I thought I'd get a screaming amen then. All right. So that was the private ceremony of the cutting of the flesh. Now, we've got a public ceremony of the keeping of the feast. Look at verse 10. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho, and they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Now, Passover was simply celebrating this public ceremony of Passover. They're just simply reminding themselves of how God had set them free from Egypt, from slavery. You remember when the death angel passed over Egypt that night? How was each person, each family saved? By applying the blood of a sacrificial lamb over the lintels and the doorposts. And when that angel came over your house and your house had the blood on it, over the door, your family was saved. And I want to tell you, the principle is still the same. In order for you to be saved, you've got to be covered by the blood of Jesus. Now, He is our Passover. Tell somebody Jesus is the Passover. He is the Passover. Matter of fact, Revelation 12:11 says they overcame Him. How? By the blood of the Lamb. Aren't you thankful that Jesus is the Passover this morning? God wanted the children of Israel to remember the basis of their victory, and Jesus is the basis for our victory. Hey, Satan's kingdom came crashing down at Calvary. I'm going to give you all another chance over here, okay? Satan's back was broken at Calvary. Amen. He won the victory. And guys, Betty Barnett can tell y'all, we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. We're fighting from victory today. Christ has won the victory. So that's the public ceremony there of the keeping of the feast. And so the victory is ours. And these were the two steps that the nation of Israel was to take in preparing for battle. Getting rid of those things with circumcision kind of pointed to, so that they could get rid of those things that were keeping them down and keeping them frustrated and miserable and defeated. And then looking toward the Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those were their two steps that God had to make to prepare for battle. Any questions? That'd been the wrong thing to say. Secondly, feeding the army. Say that with me. Feeding the army. Now look at verse 11. And they ate of the produce of the land. Now, for 40 years, what had they been eating? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. What? And what was manna? Angel food cake. The psalmist calls it angel food. Did y'all know that? I call it glorified French toast. I don't know what it was. But whatever it was, God sent it down from heaven and it was manna. And they came and picked it up and ate it every morning. God sustained 2 million Israelites with manna for 40 days. For 40 years. Have mercy. they were. And so... the very day, though, that Israel got into Canaan land, no more manna. Woo! They could get some fried catfish, and ribeyes. You know, I mean, they could eat off the land of Canaan. And those folks, don't you know, they celebrated. We're in Canaan land. We're in the promised land. Finally, a land flowing with milk and honey. And we can have something else besides manna. We're thankful for the manna. Thankful that God fed us all those years. And by the way, Jesus is the one that we feed off of. Jesus is the one who feeds us. And some of you are well fed. And bless God, some of you are starving to death. I love you enough, I'm going to tell you the truth. You just heard this. How long have you been saved, Beverly? Yeah. And you heard what she said. I finally got it. You know what she finally got? It's this right here. No wonder we're so malnourished. No wonder we're underfed. We're missing the feeding. Now, I want to just quickly mention two feedings that you need to be a part of. And number one is a private feeding. You will never get everything that you need here. You need to have a private feeding 7 days a week. When? There you go. You need to learn how to feed yourself with manna from heaven. And as you feed, you begin to get strength and nourishment. Jesus is our manna. He's the bread. He is our source. He is our strength. He's our safety. He's our security. He's our all in all. And as you feed upon Him, you begin to feast eventually. How much time are you spending in that private feeding time? Allow the Spirit of God to speak to your spirit right now. How much time this week did you spend feeding? You see, if you're not feeding, guess what? You're not ready for battle. An army that's not eating? Yeah, they're not going to win. They're not going to be able to fight. Now, that's the private feeding that ought to take place early in the morning. And if you miss it early in the morning, get in there in the afternoon, get in there in the evening. We talked about morning people. I get that. But you need to learn how to feed yourself. I get so tired of hearing the statement like this. Well, you know what? I'm just going to leave Second Mile Church because I'm just not being fed. You know what that says to me? If you ain't eating publicly, you ain't eating privately. You need to learn how to feed yourself first and foremost. Now, when there's a public feeding that's taking place right now, at the 9:30 hour and then again at the 11 o'clock hour, you need to take advantage of the public feeding too. Why? So that you can enjoy victory. I love hearing the teaching and preaching of God's Word. I love to go feed on heavenly manna. Man, I had a great day and a half up down in Birmingham hearing the preaching of God's Word and hearing the teaching of God's Word. Because I want to tell you, God not only speaks to you in your private time, He'll speak to you in your public time. Whatever that table is, sit down and eat. Amen? And so much for feeding the army. And if we don't feed privately and publicly, we're going to starve to death. And we're going to suffer defeat after defeat after defeat. And if you take care of the private feeding and you'll come for the public feeding, you're going to stay well fed and ready for battle. Isn't that a good word? Well, half of you are mad at me already. Listen. If you're going to have issues with what we're talking about, you've got issues with Him. Because that's what the Word says. Amen? Tell somebody that's right. All right, now let's look at leading the Lord's army. I've got to hurry now. Look at verses 13, 14, and 15. Okay? They've been given the steps for battle. And now they're feeding. They're feasting in Canaan land. And now let's look at how the Lord leads His army. Verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversary? Listen to this answer. He said, no. Are you for us or against us? No. Are y'all with me? But as commander of the army of the Lord, well, I skipped the rest of that up there. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversary? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. These verses answer the question, who's in charge? Who's in charge? Are y'all with me? Ask that question, who's in charge? Well, Joshua, get the picture now. Joshua, the great general, he's standing there a ways out of Jericho. Now remember, we told you, Jericho's not a large place. But it had these two huge, insurmountable high walls around the whole city. And Joshua must have been standing, Lord, how are we going to do this? How are we going to get over these walls? How are we going to take this city? Can't you? He's probably Baptist and he's saying, Lord, have you seen these walls? And all of a sudden, Joshua felt the presence of someone else. And he saw a man, capital M, with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua said, are you friend or foe? Are you with us or against us? Whose side are you on? And the answer was no. And this man looks at Joshua and basically he's saying, I have not come here to take sides. I've come here to take down, take back, and take over. I'm in charge. I've come to run the show. You see, the question is not, is the Lord on my side? The question is, are you on His side? Are you on His side? That's the question. Because if you're on His side, you're on the winning side. Amen? And so, this is who is this man with a drawn sword? Well, it's none other an Old Testament appearance of our New Testament Savior. This is what the scholars call a Christophany. And you see this, you see Jesus showing up all the time in the Old Testament. You do. I mean, you remember those three strange visitors that came to see Abraham? Well, one of those was the Lord. You remember Melchizedek? And this strange character, this king of peace and king of righteousness that shows up, and immediately Abraham, you know, they have communion, and who is that? Well, I believe that's none other than the Lord Jesus. Do you remember Jacob's midnight wrestler? That wasn't Hulk Hogan, that was the Lord Jesus. You remember the burning bush when Moses showed up? Who was that? That was none other than the Lord Jesus. You remember the fourth man in the fiery furnace? That was the Lord Jesus. And so he shows up here when Joshua needs him the most. Who am I talking here today? Who am I talking to? When you need him the most, I have found out he's all you need. He's more than enough. And he'll show up and take charge. And the battle that you're in is his, not yours. It's his. And he'll do the fighting for you. He will. That's what he said. Now, you remember when Jesus was on the cross? You remember that? And he said, I could have called down 12 legions of angels to take care of all this situation here. You know how many angels or soldiers is in one legion? That's 72,000. I could have called down 72,000 angels to take care of all of this today. But he loved us enough to fight the battle and to stay on that cross so that we could be set free from our sins. He died alone so that you could win the battles that you face and the battles that we're in. And I want to tell you, and when Joshua realized whose presence he was in, what did he do? Whoo, he's prostrate, isn't he? He fell down and he began to worship you. And by the way, you will never win in this life if you're not willing to humble yourself from time to time and submit to his leadership. And I'm a male. I understand what it's like to have these super big egos. And because God gave them to us. Girls, if you want anything, all you got to do is stroke that ego a little bit. Really, I'm telling you the truth. God gave them to us so that we could provide and protect our families. But sometimes, fellas, those egos get us in trouble, don't they? Amen. Come on, this isn't Father's Day now. All right? So Joshua falls at his feet, begins to worship him, and he says, basically, I read it like this. What are my orders? What do you want me to do? Just what do you want me to do? And he's talking to the Lord. You know, how important is prayer? How important is prayer? Huh. Second mile, listen to your pastor. I say this almost every Sunday. When are we going to learn? The key to victory is prayer. In your prayer closet and when we come together for prayer. That's the key. It's everything. And you'll never have the victory that God wants you to have until you're willing to submit to a lifestyle of prayer. And then the Lord told Joshua, what did he tell him to do? Take your shoes off. Where are you? You're on holy ground. Woo! Now notice, he was on pagan ground, but now he's on holy ground. Oh, that will preach. If I was at the black church across town, mercy, we'd be having church right now. He was on pagan ground, but now he's on... Yeah, he's on holy ground. In other words, wherever you go, wherever you are, Jesus is with you. He's with you and you're standing on holy ground. Girls, later this afternoon, when you're standing at the sink washing them nasty dishes, you're on holy ground. Kids, this fall, when y'all are sitting at the desk, school, you're sitting at an altar. You're on holy ground because Jesus is with you. Guys, when you show up at that plant tomorrow morning or you walk into the office or wherever you're at work, you're on holy ground. It's your temple. You're on holy ground. And on the eve of Israel's greatest battle, the great general Joshua is prostrate before the Lord. And I want to tell you, I've come here to tell you, if you'll get your eyes off the battle and get your eyes on Him, victory is yours. Let's pray to the Lord, shall we? Lord, would you forgive me? So many times in my life, I have tried to fight these battles in my own strength. I didn't spend time like I should have in prayer. I wasn't exercising my faith like I should have been. I wasn't looking to you. I didn't even know I was standing on holy ground. And yet you were right there all the time. And so God, I pray for us this morning. There's somebody here that needs to prepare for victory and needs to take those steps of getting rid of stuff in their life and confess those sins and get them under the blood of Jesus. There's somebody here this morning and needs to learn how to feed themselves privately and be more faithful for the public feeding. And by all means, God, I believe there's many here today that are living a life of defeat. And we've got our eyes like old Simon Peter on the storm and on the battle. And we've taken our eyes off of you. Oh God, get us in that place this morning where you can speak to us. Help us, Lord. And if you're here this morning, let me share with you quickly how you can find yourself being enlisted in the Lord's army. If you'd be willing to sit, to do right where you sit, just say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I'm lost without you. Thank you for paying the price for all my sin. I believe in that cross, and I believe in an empty tomb. And as best I understand it today, I surrender my heart and life to you. I'm taking my marching orders from you and you alone from now on. Thank you for saving me here this morning. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that way, I believe you became born again. You really meant business with God. I believe you got saved this morning. But you can't stay. You can't keep that to yourself. You've got to share it. You've got to take your stand for Christ. We're just going to ask you to come forward.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.